Cirrus battles fresh rumors of an impending move to China. Boeing needs to tweak the design of an electrical panel on the Dreamliner. And does TSA care about better screening technology? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 29th, 2010. There's a fascinating story brewing that involves Cirrus Aircraft and at least one suitor, and concerns the new owners might move the company to China. Company co-founder Dale Clapmeyer has issued a carefully worded response, which, if you parse it, doesn't really deny anything, but he does say of an offshore move, quote, "That makes no sense, and no one we're talking to has indicated that they are looking to move Cirrus away from Duluth. It really makes no sense to take Cirrus out of Duluth," unquote. Clapmeyer also confirmed that one of the interested parties has former Epic Aircraft CEO Rick Schrammick helping with due diligence. This has all the markings of a real soap opera. Read Jim Campbell's analysis dated November 29th at aero-news.net. Just after the close of business on Wednesday, when media outlets went to skeleton staffs for the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday weekend, Boeing released a statement admitting it's developing minor design changes to power distribution panels on the 787 Dreamliner and updates to the system software that manages and protects power distribution on the airplane. The changes come as the result of what's been learned from the investigation into an in-flight electrical fire on test aircraft number 2 earlier this month over Laredo, Texas. Boeing VP Scott Fancher, general manager of the 787 program, says the company, quote, "is developing a plan to enable a return to 787 flight test activities and will present it to the FAA as soon as it's complete," unquote. Boeing states that engineers have determined that the fault began as either a short circuit or an electrical arc in the P-100 power distribution panel, most likely caused by the presence of foreign debris. The design changes will improve the protection within the panel. Software changes also will be implemented to further improve fault protection. Industry observers are predicting more delays and restlessness among customers waiting for their Dreamliners. Steve Wagstaff, incoming Chief Deputy DA of San Mateo County, California, says his office will prosecute TSA employees who engage in lewd and lascivious behavior while conducting Homeland Security mandated pat-downs at San Francisco International Airport in San Mateo County. Quote, "The case would be reviewed, and if we could prove the elements of it, that it was inappropriately done with a sexual or lewd intent, that person would be prosecuted," unquote. Wagstaff was speaking with the Berman Post. The quote was included in a news release from FlyersRights.org, which says that any traveler who believes TSA's pat-down has crossed the line should note the TSA staffer's name and badge and immediately contact a uniformed state or city police officer to start an investigation. Additionally, the local district attorney's office should be called if a monitor is not in sight. Kate Hannay of FlyersRights.org says, quote, "We need risk-based, intelligence-driven security that doesn't violate all Americans who want to fly and who pose no risk," unquote. A California company says it can offer an alternative to TSA's enhanced pat-down searches and body scanners, which have come under fire for what many say is their intrusiveness. Aoptics Technologies suggests the use of its iris recognition to authenticate passengers and secure air travel. The company says its system could reduce wait time and help relax the anxiety associated with the security screening process. Earlier biometric systems were difficult to use and error-prone, but Aoptics says its iris recognition system is fast, effortless, and highly accurate, requiring only that the person being screened look at the machine from 6 feet away, allowing an accurate retinal scan in less than 2 seconds. That's all well and good, but TSA remains focused for now not on quickly clearing trusted travelers, but on indiscriminate scanning of all passengers for everyday items that might somehow be adapted as weapons. It's not clear how improved biometrics will matter unless the paradigm changes. Up next on ANN, another Delta employee group turns down the IAM. Pilots at Evergreen International will vote on a strike. And Cargo Systems gets a contract to build systems for the C-130. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 29th. I'm Paul Plagg. Delta Airlines has received notification from the National Mediation Board that 73% of TechOps Stores employees voting in the Stores representation election rejected representation by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Delta Executive VP for HR Mike Campbell says, quote, "This is the eighth work group in which representation was resolved since Delta's merger, resulting in no union for more than 41,000 employees in these groups. We urge the IAM and AFA to respect our people's choice. It's time to move forward," unquote. There is one remaining post-merger representation election still underway. Results for reservation sales and customer-facing airport and cargo agents in the passenger service craft or class will be announced on December 7th. The Airline Pilots Association says Evergreen International Airlines pilots have been negotiating for a new contract for over 6 years, and it's time to authorize a strike. ALPA says an August contract proposal was voted down after more than 10 years without improvements in some areas of working conditions, 6 years without a pay raise, and no per diem increase since the late 90s. The union's now distributing a strike ballot. If it passes, it would authorize a strike once permission is given by NMB. ALPA represents 228 pilots and flight engineers who work for Evergreen International. The Cargo Systems Division of AAR has received a purchase order to manufacture and supply C-130 cargo handling systems and spares components for 30 Lockheed C-130 Hercules aircraft. The AAR cargo systems facilitate the loading, securing, unloading, and in-flight release of military-style pallets, including low-altitude parachute extractions. AAR has been manufacturing C-130 cargo systems since 1968 and has delivered 1,280 of the specially designed systems. Bell Helicopter reports it sold two Model 429 helicopters to Chevron. The aircraft will be servicing Chevron's oil and gas platforms in the Gulf of Mexico, with deliveries planned early next year. Bell Senior VP Larry Roberts says the 429, quote, "has the ability to operate 7 days a week in harsh, remote, and unforgiving environments with superior reliability and productivity," unquote. The 429 was certified last year as a single-pilot instrument flight rules Category A helicopter under Part 27. Still ahead, Jatropha-based biofuel gets a test in Brazil. A simulated engine out turns real during a check ride. And remembering the guy who famously said, "Don't call me Shirley." You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 29th. I'm Paul Plack. TAM Airlines and Airbus have conducted the first Jatropha-based biofuel flight in Latin America using an Airbus A320. The biofuel, which was processed by Honeywell subsidiary UOP LLC, was a 50-50 blend of locally sourced Brazilian Jatropha-based biokerosene and conventional aviation kerosene. 20 people from TAM and Airbus were on board the A320, powered by CFM56 engines, when it conducted a 45-minute test flight around Rio de Janeiro. Airbus President and CEO Tom Enders observes, quote, "This flight serves as evidence of the aviation industry's commitment to advance on its self-imposed CO2 reduction targets, unquote. The insurance company is going to have fun with this one. On November 12th, a student pilot in a Cessna 172 was taking a check ride from a designated pilot examiner near Farmersburg, Indiana. As might be expected, the DPE simulated an engine out to gauge the student's response. Unfortunately, the engine didn't recover, and the DPE had to plant the Cessna in a soybean field, where it wound up on its back, inverted. The NTSB prelim reports neither the student nor the examiner were injured. The test had included stall and steep turn demonstrations prior to the loss of engine power. So what happens here? Does the DPE waive his fee, considering what he's done to the airplane? Or does he fail the student for showing up for the check ride in an aircraft with an engine issue? And finally today, the aviation industry gets pretty touchy when it comes to media sensationalism of aircraft accidents. It reached a peak in the 1970s when a series of movies about fictional airline disasters filled the big screen. Airport, in 1970, dealt with a bomber aboard an airliner and an airport facing a snowstorm. Airport 75 starred George Kennedy and Charlton Heston in a thriller about a 747 damaged in a midair with a small plane. Airport 77 featured a hijacking and a ditching at sea. And Airport 79 involved a plot to bring down a Concorde. And then there was the spoof of the genre that went on to become one of the most enduring comedies of all time. The film starred Robert Hayes and Julie Haggerty, and a cast of normally very serious types like Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges cast against type. A supporting cast member was a TWA 707, which made a piston engine drone as it flew, a sound clip borrowed from the soundtrack of the 1957 classic Zero Hour. It was called Airplane, and it became the fourth highest-grossing film of 1980, eclipsing the box office successes of all the disaster flicks it parodied. It still comes in as one of the funniest movies of all time in polls 3 decades later. And the most famous line in the movie was delivered by a Canadian who was making his comedy debut.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Leslie Nielsen passed away in his sleep yesterday at the age of 84, a victim of pneumonia related to a staph infection he'd been fighting for 10 days. He was still working earlier this year in a career that spanned 6 decades. Les, thanks for your work in Airplane. We surely appreciated the comic relief at the time. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI and flight school operator Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us what it takes to make an LSA earn its keep. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.